It was a beautiful morning for the championship final at Atlanta's Georgia Dome. Crisp, cloudless, a slight breeze, a perfect beginning to the day. Fans of all ages and stripes arrived at the stadium. They climbed out of the metro station. They descended from bus after bus. They traveled in packs by foot, crossing Centennial Olympic Park with a brisk step that defied the early hour. They crammed the escalators, stood impatiently in the serpentine line before the entrance, and flowed in a constant stream through the turnstiles. Click, click, click. The stadium attendants tallied the thousands with their handheld counters. The fans that April morning made the usual ticket holders for a Georgia Dome showdown look bland and dispirited. Many dressed in team jerseys. The arriving crowds were a blur of colors, including every shade of neon. Some had spray-painted their hair or beards or shoes to match. Others had gone for a full mohawk and face paint. Many walked with team flags draped over their shoulders and wore team buttons on their chests like medals. They passed out swag by the bucket, here a rubber chicken lanyard, there a Weeble robot. Mascots abounded. A pink ogre strolled alongside a man in a nun's habit, alongside a two-headed Martian, alongside a purple-headed dragon, alongside a pair of Vikings. Once in the stands, the mascots led their fans in thunderous cheers long before their teams made their way into the stadium. All of this excitement and energy was not for the Super Bowl or the NCAA Final Four or Olympic Trials or even the Little League World Series. It was for the first, for inspiration and recognition of science and technology, championship, a high school robotics competition. Down below, the locker rooms were empty. The teams needed so much room to prepare for their matches that they had overtaken an entire exhibition hall in the cavernous, glass-enclosed World Congress Center next door to the Georgia Dome. Teams were divided into individual 10-by-10-foot spaces, one beside the other, in long rows. These areas were called pits, like at a race car track. But in many, the mood was the same as in a gridiron locker room before a big game. Coaches huddled with their squads, talking strategy and rehashing the scouting reports of their opponents. Some players sat on the floor, heads between their knees, focusing, praying, or just trying to catch their breath. Others bounced up and down, shook their arms and rolled their necks, loosening the muscles that seemed to want to freeze them in place. "We can do this. I know it. We can do this," was a common refrain. Some teams didn't have the leisure to worry. In their pits, they rushed to mend their robots, many of which looked like mailboxes on wheels. Their basic shape belied their sophistication. These robots were operating with the same kind of complex integrated controls used on Mars rovers. But sophistication breeds trouble, and after these robots had been put through the ringer during the qualifying rounds, many needed repair. Before the first matches of the day, students and their coaches scrambled for the quick fix. They relinked broken chains, riveted loose frames, soldered wires, debugged code, and straightened bent aluminum rods with their bare hands. The smell of burnt metal, adrenaline, and sawdust saturated the air.
"Robot!"
a kid shouted.
"Coming through! Robot!"
echoed another. One team after another called out to clear a path as they carted their 150-pound robots out of the pits. The matches were about to begin.